everybody. We are here with this month's podcast taping, and we are going to talk about the best books of 2022. My name is Lisa, and I am the head of Children's and Teen Services here at the Clinton Macomb Public Library, and I have two colleagues with me today.
My name is Amy. I'm the head of Adult Services.
And I am Brittany. I'm the Outreach Manager of Youth and Teen Services.
So I'm going to jump right in. We have...
Wait. I think before we start, we should define what best means. Like we said, we're going to do the best books. What I did was pull the books in Adult Services that circulated the most. That's how I defined best. Did you guys do the same or do it differently?
We did the same, but there's always a chance somebody will throw in their favorite as we go along.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure I will too, for sure. All right. You go ahead, Lisa. I'm sorry to interrupt.
So we pulled the list of the best or most circulating books from 2022. And what we learned, which we already kind of knew, is that kids love series. So in our
adults.
in our top 50 list, we have two Cat Kid titles, 10 Dogman titles, 16 Diary of a Wimpy Kid titles, five books by Raina Telgemeier, two Bad Guys, two Percy Jackson, and three Raleigh Jefferson. It's amazing. The entire top 50 list is series books.
So many of the adult list is series books as well that I refused to include them in this discussion. I'm like, I don't need to promote these books because everyone's going to read them anyway. And so the books that I pulled out for discussion were the first few I came across that were actually not part of a series. So there's nothing that I'm going to talk about today that is James Patterson or John Grisham or Michael Connelly or David Baldacci or Stuart Woods or Lisa Scottoline or Lisa Gardner. All of those people had books or several books in our top 50, but I'm not talking about them today.
Speaking for the teen side of things, as you can imagine, also a lot of series in there. So I think I'll add too with the teens, you see a lot of books that have just kind of sustained popularity for years and years. And when we start talking about them, I'm sure we'll mention some of those series that just have been popular since they came out and really hasn't dwindled. So,
oh my gosh.
Well, yes. Go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, and one of the teen top books was one that came out at the very beginning of my career 21 years ago. And it is still just as popular today.
Just as popular.
I was laughing because one of the books that I'm going to talk about has been pretty much on hold since 2018. Like there's always been a holds list for it. So, yeah.
That's interesting. So without further ado, the top children's book from 2022 was Ruby Finds a Worry by Tom Percival. It's a picture book, and it was actually our 1, 2, 3 book for 2022 where we discussed mental health. And if you saw it, it was a big fluorescent green cover, which I think added to the appeal. But it talks about, you know, when you have that worry and it just grows and grows and grows and how to handle that. But it did it in a great, meaningful way for kids. I also don't know that we will ever hit a 1, 2, 3 topic in the perfect time of our life like we did last year, coming as COVID was still high and starting to come down and figure out what life looks like now. And that book at that same time.
I mean, mental health and self-care were incredibly timely topics at the beginning of this past year. So we definitely hit the nail on the head. And it's interesting that the top circulating book for all of adult services, fiction and nonfiction, was also our 1, 2, 3 book, which was Maybe You Should Talk to Someone by Lori Gottlieb. The fact that a nonfiction book was the highest circulating adult item is unprecedented. So I think that speaks to the quality of the title that we chose for the program. It was a very meaningful book. It was a very funny book. You laugh, you cry. It's basically about a therapist who goes to therapy, and it's a true story. And it's she's amazed to find out how much like her patients she actually is. So it was a very, very good book.
Does anyone want to bet what the top circuit book for teen was this year?
Ooh, I know.
It was Mona Star. This was our middle grade teen book for the 1-2-3 program, The Dark Matter of Mona Star. And this is about a girl named Mona Star. It's a graphic novel, and she is struggling with depression. I would say it had a good 30 checkouts over the next top one. So same thing in that 1-2-3, you hit the nail on the head, Amy. It's just a really timely topic and just the perfect time to do that for our 1-2-3 topic.
The fact that a nonfiction book checked out more than any James Patterson book is fairly amazing. But I think this is also a good time for us to plug 1-2-3, which is the program, the initiative we do every year where we choose a new timely tough topic and attempt to program around it and choose specific titles around it. And our upcoming topic for January through April is actually climate change. And we've got some great titles selected for that as well that I wish I had written down right now, but I don't. But we hope those titles will circulate just as well as the ones we just mentioned.
Great. And I want to pop back to Mona Star one more time.
Sure.
So in previous 1-2-3 topics, our children's book always does really well. Our adult book does pretty well. Our teen book, teens do what they want. They have their own things that they want to read and whatnot. We have never done this well on a teen book for 1-2-3. Usually it ends up about 25 on the list.
Sure. So we did well. And you should still read those books if you have not.
Agree. We have a lot of copies of each still. So.
So going through the children's list after Ruby Finds a Worry, I have a Dog Man, a Cat Kid, a Dog Man, Rena Telgemeier, four more Dog Man. And then we have a 50 and First title. A 50 and First is our program that we take out to all of our local schools where we ask kids to read 50 books in first grade. And what's fun about this title is this is the one we read in the classrooms. So the kids love it so much that they come back and read it again. It is Dragons Love Tacos by Adam Rubin. And if you know dragons, they breathe fire. So you do not want to give them spicy food. And if you like Dragons Love Tacos, there is a second Dragons Love Tacos also, which is just as much fun.
I feel like my daughter is now in fourth grade and loved this book so much when she was picture book age that I wonder if I could still do it by heart. I think I could give it a good try.
I also think I could read this book by heart, but I have read it in almost every first grade classroom this year. So
I've only done it in two first grade classrooms, and I can also do it by heart.
It's so fun, and I love the pictures in that one too.
You know, it's just like a simple concept too, and it's done in like, I don't know, it's just a classic. It's a classic picture book.
For sure. Britt, do you want to go next? Should we switch to sort of like aging up in order?
Yeah, that's great. So okay. One I want to mention, Lisa mentioned this actually, the one that has been on this list since the beginning of her career, The Perks of Being a Wallflower. I think we probably have all heard this title this year because it's come under fire with some challenges, but this is our third highest circuit in the teen list this year. So still as popular as it was when it came out. I can't speak to more popular, but it's still a very popular book.
Embarrassed to say that I've never read this book, but I have seen the movie. It feels wrong as a librarian to say that.
I am actually in the same boat, Amy. It's such a short book too. You think I would just pick it up and read it, but I have I only watched the movie and it was a cute movie. So,
just to date myself, this one came out in 1999 and always is in the top 10 of the list, but with it pulling off a number 3 20 something years later is really amazing.
Agreed.
Interesting. Agreed. That's crazy.
Right?
I didn't actually list the numbers of my books, but I will say that one of the top 3 non-series books, actually the second one, has, since we're talking about things with staying power, has, I think, been on hold since 2018. And it's Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. The book was, of course, helped this year because the movie came out, and the movie actually did the book some justice. So I think people did, like, it was better than I thought it was going to be, to be quite frank. This is the book that is, in fiction, we call it the book that won't die, because it's always, people are always looking for it. And it's about Kaya, who is a young girl who's abandoned by her family in the marshes of North Carolina. And she pretty much just raises herself in the wild. And the book sort of thrives on these beautiful descriptions of her surroundings and what she sees. But at its heart, it's a mystery. And when there's like two boys who sort of take the time to get to know Kaya as she becomes a teenager and then an adult. And when one of them turns up dead, the reader is taken on a journey through Kaya's past during her trial for his murder. And you're sort of left to decide, you know, did she do it? Did she not? Is she fit for society? Is she too wild for society? And it's just a book with staying power. It resonates with people. There's also controversy surrounding the author of the book. So I don't know if that didn't drive some of it as well. But there's controversy surrounding her and her husband's time, I think, in South Africa, if not some African nation, regarding poaching and a murder. And it seems almost like life came to page.
So we're going to turn topics for a minute, and I'm going to talk about something that is not a children's book. What do you think was the best CD of the year? Can you believe CDs are still around? I will tell you, my favorite artist is in the top 5 twice.
Is it Taylor Swift? I'm tempted to say Taylor Swift, but her CD came out so recently.
Well, okay. So actually, Adele's 30 was the number one circulating CD
That's
of the year.
Fair.
That makes
sure.
sense.
But Taylor Swift came in at number 4 and number 5. And number 4 was Red, which I actually heard is the top Taylor Swift CD for the state of Michigan. That's what people around here like to
Taylor's
listen to the
version?
Most.
Yeah, Taylor's version.
Yes,
yeah, okay.
Like
Taylor's
the one she re-recorded.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then back to the beginning with 1989 as number 5.
I mean, sure. seems fair.
That is fair. And what I like about Taylor Swift, not that you need another reason to like Taylor Swift, is there's no musicians around really that my teenage niece is going to love and I will love at the same time. It's just never going to happen again. And when they do, I get called cringy. So the fact that we both like the same person is pretty amazing.
I would have loved to snag some tickets to that concert.
I didn't even try.
I was so happy when I said to my 9-year-old, Taylor Swift's coming. Did you want to go see her? And she was like, nah. I was like, oh, thank you.
My sister was willing to go and bring earplugs because she's like, I don't know that I can handle a concert anymore. But
honestly, I really wanted to go to the Lizzo concert that was here about a month ago, but I'm so old now, I don't even know when concerts are here.
Fair.
Find out about them a week before.
All right. What's your next book, Lisa?
Oh, okay. So we're going down the children's list. And I have a Harry Potter, a dog man, two wimpy kids, a dog man, a wimpy kid, a cat kid, 3 wimpy kids, a Rana Telgemeier, and then another 50 and first title. Those 50 and first titles really did well this year.
Can I guess which it is?
Yes.
Is it The Day the Crayon Quit?
It is The Day the Crayons Quit. So in this story, each of the crayons writes a letter as to why they are the most important color in the crayon box. And you learn that you need all the color of the crayons in order to draw all the good pictures. There
when
is
yellow and orange fight over who should get to color the sun. It's
right,
delightful.
Right. And it's super fun because I like to make noises and change voices. And in this one, you can do all kinds of voices as you come out with the different crayons. And then you have the peach crayon who is naked.
I was going to say that's always forever going to be my favorite page to read aloud for classes because they think it's hilarious.
Well, and you get to yell and it's super fun. There is also the day the crayons came back if you like the first one, but yeah, gotta love the day the crayons quit. What you got, Britt?
We're moving. So I'm going to skip along this list. We're going to skip over some Suzanne Collins. We're going to skip over some John Green. We're going to skip over some Twilight, some Divergent.
All these things that are going to circ no matter if we talk about them or not.
The one I want to stop on is something that was a book club book for me and my personal book club. And then it's recently become a Netflix series, One of Us is Lying. If you've never heard of this, it's about several high schoolers who have a classmate who's been murdered during their detention hours, and they all kind of get stuck in this room to figure out who is lying about having like laced this kid's food with peanut oil that he's allergic to. And so this is where the book starts, and it's just an excellent, excellent story. I didn't guess it, but I'm also really, really terrible at guessing these things. But if you are into kind of like a kind of a light upbeat, maybe you started watching like the show Wednesday and you want to read a book or watch another series like Wednesday, One of Us is Lying is definitely your pick. I can see why it is in our top 15.
I did guess it.
Did you guess it?
But I devoured the book and the Netflix series. And if
okay.
another comparison is if you liked Cruel Summer, this is another one you will enjoy reading and watching. I thought both were excellent.
Agreed.
Okay, so skipping over some Jodi Picoult and Nicholas Sparks and all of the people we know will circulate, another book we should probably talk about that was high on the adult list is The Midnight Library by Matt Haig.
Ooh,
did
yeah.
either of you read this book?
I did.
I loved this book. The sort of premise is that there's this sort of library in the ether that when you die or on the verge of dying, I guess, you can go to this library and select books off the shelf, and each book will show you a different path your life could have taken if you could have made if you had made it just a simple different decision. And I just thought it was fascinating to see how many different ways this main character, whose name I don't remember right now because it's been a while since I read it, but the number of different ways her life could have gone. Like when we meet her before she makes it to the Midnight Library, she's sort of down on her luck and doesn't have money. And we find out she wanted to be a glaciologist when she was younger. And there are so many different paths that her life could have taken based on sometimes the simplest of choices, that I thought it was a really fascinating book. I loved when she would go into a life and be there for like 2 minutes and be like, nah, this ain't the one, and and leave. But it's interesting how like in one life her brother was taking care of her, and in another one he's a drug addict. I mean, it's just very it felt very butterfly effect. Like there's so many different things that could happen.
And this is a book that since reading it, I've thought of a lot.
Me too.
Doesn't
Me
happen
too.
A lot. And I always wonder like, what if that was true? but I think too, for me with that book, mentioning the butterfly effect, I think it really like discuss the idea that you may have these regrets in your life, but you'll never actually know what could have come out of these things and what you know, what other impact it has on other people's lives. And I just thought it explored that idea really, really well. I really enjoyed that book.
It did. And who has not been awake at 2 o'clock in the morning, second guessing a decision?
Sure. Absolutely.
That's when they come up, right?
Right. Always in the middle of the night.
I know we're running out of time, but I quickly just want to mention that I've talked mostly about fiction books, except for the 1-2-3 book. But I do want to mention that our, other than the 1-2-3 book of Maybe We Should Talk to Someone, two of the highest circulating nonfiction books were The Library Book by Susan Orlean, which after preparing for this podcast, I put on my to read list because it sounds kind of fascinating. It's about the fire at the Los Angeles Public Library in April of 1986 and how the investigation is still open as to how it started and what happened. I mean, and it went up quick. I mean, it's a large building full of books. So it sounds like it's really incredibly well done. And then another nonfiction book that's been incredibly popular is When a Killer Calls, The Haunting Story of Murder, Criminal Profiling, and Justice in a Small Town. And that one is by John Douglas, who's a really famous criminal profiler. He essentially was one of the people who started criminal profiling for the FBI. And that one is, I believe, set in North Carolina, and it's about a hunt for a very specific serial killer that they had on their hands in the 1970s. I think the 1970s, but both of, or 1980s, but they've both done incredibly well. They're very popular still. And I sort of want to encourage people that if you like fiction, there's a lot of narrative nonfiction that would meet your needs as well.
And both of those sound like perfect ones that you would read with your love of true crime.
It's true.
So let me flip again. And so if you were to guess our most popular type of video game at the library, what would you guess?
Got to be Mario.
Oh, it is Mario.
Yes, we are a Nintendo service area by far. There is some occasional Xbox and PlayStation games that pop up, but the number one circulating game of 2022 was Super Mario 3D All-Stars.
Okay.
Number two is Call of Duty.
I was going to say that's got to be up there because I have people coming up to the desk all the time for it.
That was number two. You have
to
imagine
Animal Crossing has to be on here somewhere.
Yep.
Right?
Luigi's Mansion 3 was number three, which I'm impressed it stuck around because that was a 2020 game. Okay. And then Animal Crossing is number four.
There you go.
I'm surprised.
Any Minecraft type stuff?
Way down. You got Super Smash Brothers, which is continuous. And then a giant surprise, SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, Battle for the Bikini or whatever it's called.
Yes.
Yeah, that people come too.
I expect Mario. I expect Madden. I'm a big Lego person for video games. So the Lego Worlds and Lego City, and Lego Jurassic World, and my favorite Lego Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga are on here. But yeah.
What about movies? It's been, since COVID, movies have been really weird for CMPL because there's just not as much being put out as was put out in the past.
Yeah,
so,
I think that's pretty, you know, even for theaters, I feel like it's been weird.
I'm hoping it bounces back for 2023, but what was our top movie? It's got to be something like maybe the new Jurassic Park that brought both casts together.
I think it was. Let me look.
That was actually number two. Our top, Lisa, do you want to take a guess for the top movie?
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man was four.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
I feel like, Lisa, you cheated.
I did cheat. I think we should all be impressed that I at least saw one of the movies in the top 10.
I am impressed.
I actually want to just point out that No Time to Die, I have absolutely no idea what our number three movie is. Like,
what is
not
that?
Even a clue. No clue. I don't know who's in it. I don't know what it's about.
I'm gonna look.
I mean, number
is it even from this year?
Four was Spider-Man No Way Home, and I did see that one. But
No Time to Die stars huge people. Daniel Craig. Rami Malek, I don't know how to say his name, unfortunately.
Rami Malek.
Rami Malek. Both of those are, oh, it's a James Bond movie.
Okay.
Oh,
I actually
okay.
have what heard it of is. That then. We all know what James Bond like, is.
Oh, that's funny.
I
oh,
mean,
look.
The I'm really highest, bad at movies. So,
the
yeah.
highest ranked TV series is Yellowstone season one. That makes some sense. I feel like I have to watch this TV series
this
just because
Yellowstone
so
thing.
many people are talking about it.
It's
I
worth,
know.
It's interesting. It reminds me kind of like old school Dallas.
Okay.
But on a
I
Montana
used to watch that
ranch.
with my mom.
But you
My
also
family.
have because of how Montana is, you have the ranchers kind of against the local indigenous people.
Okay.
Both have land in the area and are both kind of fighting over it. And then you have some
Sure.
drama. I watched season one and then I kind of fell off, and Matt is working his way through season five right now. I think we're on.
I knew I had missed this popular show when I got invited to two viewing parties for the season premiere, and I was
And
like,
you're like, I have no idea
what?
what's happening.
Yes. But
Did
I think
Scream
you'd enjoy it.
get remade? Because Scream is number 19 on our movie
Yes.
list. It got
I think it
remade.
did get remade,
All
yeah.
right. All right.
I want to talk about one more book, and it's not teen, it's not children's, it's actually an adult fiction book that I feel like in my own personal life had such split reviews. I just want to discuss it here. And Amy, I know you hate this book. But it is the Addie LaRue book by Victoria or V.A. Schwab.
I need to preface this with my I need to preface my hatred. I hated the first 70% of the book, which
That's
is
like
a
most of
lot.
the book.
I
I
enjoyed the
loved
last
this book.
30.
I loved every second of this book. I thought it was fantastic. And I will admit, I listened to the audio on like 2.0 and it was still hours, hours long. But I thought this book was so good. And
You
then
have to
I
tell
talked
them the
to people
premise. You have to
about
tell them the
it. So
premise.
it's about, I can't remember her name, but it's oh, Addie LaRue, it's in the title. So it's about a woman named Addie who makes a deal with the devil that she what's the
To
deal?
live
Like she can live
forever.
forever.
Yeah.
But as these deals go, there is a catch, and the catch is that no one can see her. No, like, or once they see her, they can see her and then they forget her immediately. That's what it is. And so the book takes place from two different time periods. It takes place from modern day. And then what is it, like the 1700s
When she made the
is when
deal,
she made the
yeah.
deal. Okay. So those are the two time periods it takes place during. And yeah, I don't know. It's not something I would have normally picked up
I
just in
will
general.
say you're not alone.
But I'm
People
also
loved this book, but
or hated
people
it.
Just not
also
Amy.
hated the book. I don't
No,
think there was
lots of people
medium
hated it
feelings
too.
because we did this as a book club book and it was split down the middle. They either loved it or
We
they
did it
hated
in
it.
Books on Tap,
Yes.
and it was the same. It was, there's a lot of setup in this book.
But
I'll
I have
be
not met
honest.
someone who's neutral about it. I've not met
No,
someone, it's okay.
I give a book 50 pages, and if I don't like it in 50 pages, I'm going to move on to a book that I do like. I
Sure,
kept
sure.
reading this book because it was a book for a book discussion I was leading for work, and at the end, I was glad I stuck with it, I think. But it was just such a lot of work in the beginning. I mean, and what you didn't say is she eventually meets a man that she loves
Sure.
who she needs him to remember her,
I wouldn't
basically.
even say that he loves her, but she meets a man who
Sure. We
she
can't
has
give too much
interest in,
away.
but
Yes.
he remembers her. That's what
Right.
it is.
Right,
Yeah.
right.
So
So,
I don't know. And I might be a little biased because this author also writes a few children's books that I love. So I think I might just like this author and enjoy her book that some people hated. So
all
very
right, I'm going to do
possible.
one more plug real quick. My favorite book that I read that I didn't see in the top 10 anywhere this year was a thriller called Blood Sugar.
Oh, I love
It's
this book.
about a woman who has no problem telling you that she absolutely is a killer. She tells you on page two, but she did not kill her husband, and she wants you to know that she's not a sociopath, and you spend the whole book trying to figure out, did this killer kill her husband? So I'm just going to leave it at that.
And I will just add to that, that there are some one lines, two lines in this book that you will remember, and you'll there be like,
one sentence towards the end of this book where I'm like, I still think about it.
Is it, does the sentence have the word decade in it?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes, okay. So if you're listening to this and you read that book, when you get to that sentence, you'll understand.
Yeah. I'm going to do one last plug for a teen book. It came in at number 10 this year, and it won all kinds of awards last January and whatnot. It's The Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Bouley. She is an Ojibwe and lives in Michigan, so it is a local author, but it is a mystery. It takes place right on the reservation, you know, there's an investigation into a series of drug-related deaths. While it's a teen book, it does come in at 494 pages. Mm-hmm. So if you are an adult who likes some true crime or some local, this may be a book that you want to pick up, even though it's in the teen collection.
Sounds good.
That's all I've got today.
That's all I have. Anyone all right. else?
I don't think so.
Okay. New will be back in January for that podcast. I have no idea what it is at the moment. As we're
come
working
see us at the
calendar.
Library in 2023.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.